That's hilarious. Sorry, I gotta edit. I'm gonna have to edit that. You didn't see it, but the intro played under the overlay. So that was funny. All right, ready? 3, 2, 1. What's poppin', internet? Welcome back to another episode of the Synced Up Podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Timothy DeRoe, and joining me this week is your boy, Michael Clare. Of course, joined by Jill in the background there.
Yeah, she holding it down right there.
Hell
she
yeah.
She's a little sleepy. It's the late hour.
She's taking a nappy, bro.
I respect Pleasure it. To be here, as always. Glad to be back.
As always, yeah, a little glad to be back. It's been a cool minute since we've done
it. Has, bro.
This.
It's been, I looked up on the channel before we got started, and the last thing we uploaded was talking about Barbenheimer. Yeah. So It's been a few months.
I think it was June. Was it June 20 something?
That was either June or July.
Yeah.
Whenever Barbenheimer
was our last
thing. That whole thing. Yeah.
So, as you can tell, things look differently. If you're an audio only listener, you can't really tell any difference. Our mics might sound slightly different.
It might be a little different.
But there were some happenings, some personal happenings, multiple personal happenings on all kinds of levels that have caused a break in the podcast. On top of us just taking a regular break, they just got extended, you know? But you could tell things
honestly,
are different.
It's an upgrade.
It does feel kind of nice. We're doing it remote now.
Yeah.
If you're on the video version, you can see our overlay here. Mike is over at his house. I'm over at my house from the comfort of our own home.
It's so nice. I can go straight from recording to sleep.
Exactly. You don't got to worry about
I love it.
Editing or going to bed.
I don't got to drive home.
I know.
It's wonderful.
I know. So it's quite nice. Mike's going to send me his audio. So you shouldn't be hearing any decrease in audio because I'm not recording it, you know, like through Discord, which would be very bad. But we're back in business, and it's been a minute, and I know we're a little late, but we're just going to talk about some of our favorite stuff from 2023, movies, TV shows.
A little recap.
Yeah, of course, games. We're going to talk about the future of Xbox, stuff that they did, some of the Nintendo news that's been coming around, and then we're going to rank fruit, okay? We decided no more post show. Fuck the post show.
No more.
Okay, we're not doing the post show. All of our post show antics are going to be in the main show. So
I'm with it.
We're going to be ranking fruit later, and that's nice. And then we're going to talk about some of the stuff that we've been watching or playing lately as well, just to top it all off at the end. Of course, reader mail and all that. We don't got any. I haven't went in to see if there's any even in there. If you got reader mail, start sending them in again. We're going to start doing them again. If you got game ideas, of course, fielding, you know, go ahead and do that. The rest of y'all, Lyle, Miguel, we haven't forgot about you guys. We haven't forgot about you.
Mm-mm.
If you've been patiently waiting, this popped
everybody
up
in the Discord.
Yeah, everyone in the Discord. This is also going to be kind of a shadow drop. We're not going to promote this at all, so this is fun. This is real fun. Anyway,
like we never stopped.
Let's just get right into it. We're going to talk about our favorite games of 2023. So
okay,
I'll start her off so I can get mine out of the way.
Sure.
I'm just going to go.
I think ours are very different this year anyway, so it's fine.
I'm going to quickly go through my top 10. I'm going to go more in-depth in the top 5.
And is this ordered?
A couple of honorable mentions. It's ordered for me. It won't be ordered for Mike, but there's no rules to this shit. We do whatever we want.
Yeah. Casual.
It's casual. So in my first set of honorable mentions, why is Spider-Man 2 is too low? I don't think I.
Whoa.
I think I forgot to move this up. Let me go ahead and edit this position here.
Yeah, you go ahead and fix that.
I got Spider-Man 2 in my honorable mentions, which is...
That's disgusting.
Which is not where...
I'm honestly offended.
Not where that belongs. It was definitely better than Jedi. All right, let's keep it buck. Move that up. I'm going to put it right there. Okay. IGN Playlist, by the way. If you're not using that app, you should be using that app. It's a great app. Okay, starting off around our honorable mentions. Super Mario Bros. Wonder, Hogwarts Legacy, Oxenfree 2, Lost Signals. Oxenfree 2, Lost Signals is really good. Follow-up to Oxenfree 1, but didn't quite make the top 10. Hogwarts Legacy, just a good game. You know, not going to get into the ethics, but, you know, it's still a good game. Your wife played that game. Had a great time with that game.
100% of that game.
Yeah, she don't usually do that type of stuff, which is kind of wild. And then Super Mario Bros. Wonder, it just didn't click with me. I think I've come to the conclusion, as an adult in the modern era, I can't wade through the easy levels to get to what I actually enjoy in 2D Mario, which is like the crazy, like when me and you played through 3D, was it 3D World at the end there through the Psycho levels, like that was a great time. But the other levels, I can't do it. So that's why that's down there. Number 10, Jedi Fallen Survivor. It was really good. Or Jedi Survivor, not Fallen Survivor. It was really good, but didn't quite hit the highs of the first one, but I still enjoyed it a lot. Cocoon is actually a little indie game that's quite dope, actually. If you've never seen Cocoon, there's gonna be some gameplay here. That's funny, the little bar there. There we go. Cocoon was a puzzle game by the guys who did Inside and Limbo, I believe. Noah, is that correct? Noah? Cocoon's from the guys who did something. Let's do a quick check. Noah's gonna check. Oh, also spoilers for Alan Wake 2 in the background. Noah's playing Alan Wake 2 in the background there. So if you're on the video version. But it's this incredibly cool indie game where the premise is you're like going inside and out of these orbs. And it's honestly the first puzzle game I think I've played where like I genuinely was like, wow, this is crazy. Like, things clicked, and I was able to accomplish stuff, and I felt super smart, and I didn't have to look anything up, but I still felt, like, super-duper smart. Go ahead, Noah.
Geometric Interactive. They have made Cocoon, Thoth in 2016, and 140 in 2013.
I guess they didn't make shit. I thought maybe the creative director's from... I don't know.
Annapurna.
Oh, it's just an Annapurna game. Okay, well, yeah. So Cocoon's really cool. As you can see there in the video... He like went into that orb.
Yeah, so it's just big puzzle game.
Yeah, but you can like take that orb into that orb or take that orb into the other orb. Like you could do all kinds of crazy weird stuff. It's like it's awesome. It's really
That's pretty
awesome.
Cool.
Yeah. So I like that one a lot. That was Cocoon at my number 9. Starfield at number 8. I actually really enjoyed Starfield. I know
it's in my honorable mentions. I think didn't hit the expectations I had for it though.
I'm inclined to agree. It's exactly what you think it is. Fallout in space. It plays like Fallout in space. That's really all there is to it. Like there's nothing really else to say.
My qualm with it was it felt like it was not a 2023 release.
Yeah, I agree.
It still feels like old.
2012.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Armored Core 6 fires Rubicon at number 7. That was a great action game by From Software. Mm-hmm. Enjoyed that very, very much. Final Fantasy 16 at number 6. That game's phenomenal. Some of the best boss fights I've ever played. And I'm honestly really excited for Final Fantasy 7 Remake Part 2, which is coming really soon. But I'll talk more about that later. I got some stuff to say later.
Cool.
And then starting my number 5, Lies of P. That game was great. It proved that another studio could do the Dark Souls formula and actually do it well. And that was that was like, oh, wow. Like, you know, you have so many. You have Lords of the Fallen. And its sequel, Lords of the Fallen, and then you have what the hell was that one game? Absolver, Neo, like you have all these different Souls style games, and they really try to like do the same thing that Souls does and go hard with it, and they always fall short in some way, like in some capacity. It doesn't feel as smooth. Just different things that make it like, this isn't great. But Lies of P, and this being their debut game as well, is what makes it super exciting. Like, delivered in every single way. It took Pinocchio and made it dope and cool and dark, and that was awesome. And then also just felt good to play, had a cool story, had a bunch of quality of life things that FromSoft can look at and learn from. Like the ability to, like, just mix and match weapons and use them in any way that you want and being able to undo that and stuff, like, and have a training area where it's like, hey, you want to try these cool weapons, throw them on, mix and match them, go out here, test them out, and you don't have to worry about like builds and stuff. You can go and you can reset all of your stats and all
that's
that stuff.
I feel like that's a big barrier to Souls games for me, at least, is like I feel like walking into a Souls game without looking up builds and stuff like that is way overwhelming.
It's a lot. And,
like, there's a fear of, like, you have to commit to, like, whatever build you're doing.
Yeah.
Which is nice if you don't have to do that.
Yeah, because even in Elden Ring, like, you could have a build, but you were locked in, and you had a few items that you could find in the world that would reset you, but there wasn't, like, a whole bunch of them, just only a couple. So,
yeah,
it was kind of dicey. Then number 4 is where I ultimately put Spider-Man 2. Spider-Man 2?
Okay.
That was an excellent game. Excellent game. Great sequel, was just as good of the first one, if not better. Melded the two Spider-Men quite well. Excellent story moments, excellent gameplay. I really loved it. I loved that game a lot. And then number 3, Dave the Diver. That kind of was a surprise to me.
That's pretty high up there.
Yeah. Little indie game came out. Was super enjoyable. Played it on the Steam Deck. Played the shit out of it. It honestly blew my expectations out of the water completely. It was quite enjoyable. I loved it a lot. And then number two, of course, the game you would expect to be there, Baldur's Gate 3. Such an excellent, excellent game. I love Baldur's Gate 3. Of course, played a co-op, couch co-op, which is a great way to play it, in my personal opinion. Being able to play that with someone on the couch is much better than playing that with someone online, I think. Because I tried playing Divinity with someone online, and it just wasn't like – it's just not as good. But when you're playing split screen and you can see everything that's happening on their screen, they can see everything that's happening on your screen, it allows for these moments when someone is like talking to someone – like there's dialogue going and they're talking and you're like, okay – like, you can stop doing what you're doing to listen to the person and be like, oh, like, I can just stop and watch what's going on your screen. But when you're playing online, you just miss out on that dialogue. So it just, it really sucks. But, like, Baldur's Gate 3 blew every expectation I had about games just out of the water. Just the variety, the insane amount of ways you can tackle problems, just the voice acting, the cinematics, the story, just all of it just came together to be something so super cool. Even if you're into D&D or not, like, just super duper enjoyable. I love that game quite a lot. And then my number one favorite game from last year, exactly what you would expect if you know me. You know, oh, spoiler alert, what's it going to be? Oh, who would have thought? Tears of the Kingdom.
No big shock.
No big shock. Tears of the Kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people really, really loved Breath of the Wild. And they talk about Breath of the Wild like it's this, like, big thing, and like all of the talking points for Breath of the Wild, I never really agreed with. I never like vibed with. I loved the game, and it ended up in my top 50 of all time. But like, I never really had these magical things that people talked about when talking about Breath of the Wild, like the exploration and then the wonder, and like, I just thought it was a really cool Zelda game. That all changed with Tears of the Kingdom. I felt like the way people talked about Breath of the Wild is the way I feel, like, actually felt in Tears of the Kingdom. The exploration, the wonder, the awe, the desire to just keep looking and searching for more and more things was just insane. I could not get enough. I wanted to explore more and find more and do more and do as much side stuff as I could find. I'd do a bunch of shrines. I wanted to just keep going and going and going. And then, of course, the story in this one, just much better. The story is just insane, you know. And then, of course, building upon the last game with Ultra Hand, the fuse ability, the ascend ability. They just somehow took that first game and was like, let's put it on 10 and go even harder. Like,
yeah, all the abilities are absolutely insane.
Yeah, 100%. I could not praise this game more. So that was my favorite game from last year. And that's my list of games. On to you, brother. On to you. What do you got?
All right, let me pull it up. So
what you got for me?
I don't play a lot of games. I don't play terribly too many.
You're not a capital G gamer. You're a lowercase G gamer.
Lowercase gamer, for sure.
Nintendo gamer.
Except, unless we're talking about a couple games, and then I'm
capital.
Bold, all letters capitalized.
Pokemon, in particular.
Yes,
if
exactly.
If you couldn't tell.
You get me.
If you couldn't tell from the video version.
Yeah, I'm a big Pal World fan. So, some of my honorable mentions here.
Yep.
Hogwarts Legacy, of course. When it came out, I played a good, like, 40 hours. But, like, as you said,
I never finished
Kylie,
it.
I didn't either.
Yeah.
But Kylie 100% of it. Mm-hmm. And I enjoyed helping her do that.
Nice backseat experience.
Yeah, it really was. I think it's got a couple shortcomings. Some stuff there's like a lot of repetitive elements in it.
Yeah.
The story is a little too long-winded. And I don't think you really get to care about the story.
Yeah.
But something about being a wizard in Hogwarts just trumps all of that.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
It's dope.
Tears of the Kingdom, I only played about 20 hours. Mm-hmm. I didn't get too deep into it. I think I got to appreciate most of what was in it. I loved the three different maps. I liked all the abilities. I think it just wasn't... it wasn't different enough for me to want to, like, explore the whole world again.
Yeah.
Which... I know you probably disagree with that, but I, like, it was too similar for me.
Sure, that's fair.
Like, okay, I don't want to go do all these shrines again. I don't want to go explore this map again. I probably should have just went straight into the story. I think that's where I messed up. Yeah. Was a classic me was like, all right, I got 100% as I go. I should have just went straight into the story, so I could have went to that. Street Fighter 6 is a good fighting game. I'm gonna throw that in there. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that. Starfield was a fun playthrough, but I think that game is just a little outdated. I want Bethesda to do what they do, but like just different. I don't know. Just, I don't know how to make that make
just
sense.
Just more modern.
Yeah, yeah. It just felt so like old. I get that there's a lot of fans that like love what they do, but I wish they tried more. They made more risks with some of their game design.
I'm inclined to agree.
Because I'm not diehard Bethesda, so like if it doesn't hook me, I'm not like I don't have to finish it.
Yeah.
And then Pokemon dropped its DLC, which I think one of them dropped in early January, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Better than the core game, or at least some things were fixed in relation to the core game. So I really enjoyed those. But the two games that I played that like I actually was like, okay, these are the greatest games I played this year, were Spider-Man 2 and Mario Wonder, mm-hmm. which you've talked a little bit about. Spider-Man 2 made two, I mean, there's similar storylines, but two different main characters feel good. I know there's a couple games that do that, but going back and forth between Miles and Peter was great. The whole storyline is great. The gameplay is great. I have nothing but good things to say about Spider-Man. That's probably my number one game. And then number two was Mario Wonder.
Yeah.
100% of that. I usually do with the most Mario games I get my hands on. It was very fun. The level was very creative. The game doesn't need to be super hard for me to enjoy it like it does for you. Because I'm going 100%. I'm 100%ing it. I like the exploration part of Wonder, where it's like I got to find creative ways to find all these purple coins, how to find the extra seeds and stuff like that. Yeah, you have to do some creative things there. The badges allow for a lot different gameplay than what you're used to.
The badges were a really cool part.
Yeah, and then some of the end levels, the like mastery levels, whatever you call them, those are very well made.
The challenge levels.
Yeah, they were a lot of fun. Had me stressed out for a couple days trying to beat them. Super fun. Just probably the best 2D Mario experience I've ever had. I'm not a big 2D Mario guy. Very big 3D Mario. Yeah, love 3D Mario.
I can agree with that 100%.
I think most people are that way. But this was a very good one. It was very fun. I'll cherish this one.
Yeah, Mario Wonder. Good gaming.
Good game. And that's pretty much all I've really messed around with this year.
Light year for you in terms of games.
Yeah. Yeah, light year. For sure.
In terms of some games. All right. Well, time to move on to some of our favorite movies and TV shows from 2023.
Okay. I got some more to say here. I watch some movies and shows.
I have my top 9 films from last year that I'm going to go through here. And then I have some TV shows. I'll talk about the TV shows when you talk about them because all of mine are pretty much the same.
Our TV shows are going to be very similar.
Yeah, so I'll talk about the TV shows that you talk about. If there's any that you miss, I'll slide in and talk mm-hmm. about those there.
Okay.
So starting off with the movies that I watched last year in 2023, my 9 favorite ones. I watched Story Avenue, which was like a really good, like one of those racial movies, you know, like Fruitvale Station or something of that nature, When They mm-hmm. See Us. Where there's a kid who's like a graffiti artist, gangbanger kid, and there's a guy who's like an ex-cop who like takes him in and is like trying to like, he doesn't take him in, but he becomes a father figure for him. And he like is trying to teach him in the ways. That ended up being a really good movie that made me cry, as they do. You know me, I'm a big cry guy.
Yeah.
My 8th favorite movie last year was Tetris. That movie's actually really good.
Really?
Yes.
Was that last year?
Yeah, that was last year, 2023, early 2023.
You sure?
Trust. Click in the movie right now. Yep, released 2023.
I believe you. That might make my list. I don't know. I like that movie a lot.
That movie's
Tetris is very good.
Yeah, Tetris is
sleeper
awesome.
Hit.
It is a sleeper hit. Like it kind of came out of nowhere. And not only is it cool if you're into video games, especially with like the Game Boy stuff, it was like, oh, this is cool. But also,
it's because it feels like a drama documentary. Yeah. Not like a documentary, but like a It doesn't feel. What's the word?
It's also a great spy movie, like a spy thriller. It's like, oh shit.
Like, I guess the word I'm looking for is like based on a true movie story. But it doesn't feel like one.
Like pseudo nonfiction, but not really.
Yeah, one of those words.
Yeah.
It had a good feel. I liked it.
It was great. And then it turned into a good spy like flick where you're like, oh, some action stuff. And then number 7 was TMNT. I really liked
it. I never ended up watching it.
Great movie. Really good movie. If you like...
I still need to get around to it.
If you like, you know, Spider-Man, Puss in Boots, that's a great film. Watch that movie.
Yeah.
It's great. Number 6 ended up being Guardians 3. That was a really good movie.
Guardians. Was that the best MCU movie? Yeah, it was.
Last year?
It was, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, you're not really rocking with much good these days.
Quantumanium, close second, for sure.
Shut your mouth. Shut your mouth.
No, Guardians was fantastic, though. It was a very good payoff for people who had been invested in that group for a while.
Beautiful.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, so did I. Number 5 was the Mario Bros. Movie. Excellent film. Why are you shaking your head for?
I can't agree with you, fam.
Why are you shaking your head for, bro?
It was a good... You know when you watch a movie and you're like, this is a good movie for the kids.
Sure.
There's some good references for adults. Lots of good references for adults. Otherwise, kind of mid.
We're the kids, bro.
No.
Come on. That's us.
We were supposed to get all the references. That's what was for us. The kids don't know all the old stuff.
I liked it. I enjoyed it a lot.
It was good.
And number 4.
Peach.
Go ahead.
Peach. I was going to say, Peaches will be relevant for quite a while.
Yeah. Number 4 ended up being Oppenheimer. Christopher Nolan.
Oppie at 4?
Yes, Sirsky. Was you thinking that's too low or too high?
I feel like that's too low for you. Let me think.
You watched Oppie, right?
Of course I watched Oppie. Did I watch Oppie?
Just checking. Oh, yeah, the Barbenheimer app. We had a ranking.
Yeah,
we had a ranking. My bad, gang.
Just in general, you think I'd miss out on Oppie? No.
That's a great film.
Not my boy Nolan.
I love that film.
Yeah, Oppenheimer is fantastic.
Ludwig van Göransson solidifying himself as a great composer.
A lot of good acting in that movie.
Yep, I really like that movie. And when I say these next three, you'll understand why Oppenheimer is as low as it is. Number 3 ended up being Barbie. I enjoyed
it. You did put Barbie ahead? Okay.
Yeah, Barbie ended up being ahead of Oppenheimer. What can I
felt
say
felt like
Barbie?
Much more... I think the reason is because Oppenheimer is not Nolan's best film, so it doesn't feel like as big of a like pillar, whereas Barbie is like a big cultural moment in 2023.
Yeah, it not only did Barbie feel like an insanely good cultural moment, it was also just a very good movie. It was just a great film. Like it just came in and was like, oh, this is a great story. It's really funny. It has jokes. Like it was just beautiful. Like it was just beautiful.
It hit all my humor notes too.
1,000%. 1,000%. Like I couldn't. I'm trying to bring up a trailer for another thing.
No, you're good.
It's geeking right now. Can't wait for this new GPU to come in so this moves faster. It came in and just blew me away completely. And then by the ending, I was like, I was crying.
Yeah.
And it's the same reason I enjoyed, you know, like, Everything Everywhere All at Once. Like, it's goofy and crazy and wild, but somehow still really emotionally impactful. You can have jokes where she talks about, like the construction worker, like, genital joke. It's like, oh, super weird. And then her, like,
going... Yeah, some of it was a little flat.
Yeah.
But.
And you have the weird stuff with, like... Why do I want to say Will Smith? Will Ferrell. Like, that stuff is odd, but amongst that is these really serious, poignant, emotional moments that I liked a lot. Number 2.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Into Spider-Verse 2. I mean, come on, bro. Come on.
Across the Spider-Verse. Excuse you.
My bad. Across the Spider-Verse. It was gas. It was gasoline.
Yeah, it was fantastic. It was, let me get a look real quick. Is it my number 1? Yeah, it's my number 1.
It's really good.
It's really good. It's fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Like, it just expands upon the first one. I think it's better than the first one. It's fun. It's crazy. You got A-list actors going hard in there. The voice acting, everything. The soundtrack. Maybe the soundtrack's not as good as the first one, but it's still excellent.
It's still probably one of my favorite albums of the year.
Yeah.
Is just the music from that.
And I love the art. I love everything about that film. And the ending was great. Even though some people don't like the fact that the ending was the way that it was, I love that ending. It was great, and I can't wait.
I mean,
for
it's part two. It's part two in a 3-part series. I'm not shocked,
exactly.
Right? Like, we knew. And if you're gonna stop it anywhere, that's a good place to pause the story. Yeah, you know.
And then my first favorite film of all time had to be Past Lives. Not of all time. Sorry. Of last year.
Okay.
It ended up. It is high on my favorite list of films of all time. It's 16 on my favorite films of all time.
Okay.
My top 50 movies of all time, Past Lives, ended up making it to 16. I cannot praise this film enough. I think everyone should watch this film. I want to show this film to everyone. I want to buy multiple copies to hand it out to people. This movie is so, so very special to me. Like, it's just incredibly impactful. It's a romance film where a Korean girl and a Korean boy, they like fall in love, and then the Korean girl has to migrate to Canada, and she leaves him, and they're like boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever. So she leaves him there, and she lives her own life. Mm-hmm. And they kind of keep in touch, but it doesn't really work. And then 10 years later, he pops up into her life. You're talking like 2008 when Facebook's first coming around, and he's like trying to find her on forums, and they talk, and they become really close. And then 10 more years pass again. But during this time, she gets a husband, and their lives become these weird tangled messes where he is infatuated with her and she's like moving on. And the main crux of the story is that he comes to the United States to visit her for a day. But she has a husband and yada, 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 but he's in love with her. And it ends up just being this just emotionally impactful, beautiful film where you're like, wow, like I have not seen anything like the dialogue, the talking is just so good and just locks you in, and you just feel so like emotionally connected to these characters. And then the other thing that I can't praise the film enough for is just its cinematography, its shots. There is some insane level shots in this film. Like, you'll be taken aback by how good some of the shots were. I watched it with my girlfriend, Alanae, and she's not someone who like locks in on cinematography, on shots. She's like, she's just watching the story, maybe passively, maybe actively, but she's not caring about shot composition. This film made her be like, whoa, what the fuck? Like, several times throughout the film, she's like, wow, that's an incredible shot. And I feel the same way. Like, it's just, it's amazing. I can't praise that movie enough. Past Lives, 10 out of 10. Please watch that movie. My favorite movie from last year. One of my favorite movies ever.
I respect.
And that's for movies. What you got that I didn't hit already?
What did you not touch on? No, I think, I mean, my biggest movies here are Guardians, Barbie, Oppenheimer, Across the Spider-Verse. Glass Onion was a really good one for me.
That wasn't a very enjoyable movie. That came out January.
Early in the year. I enjoyed that one a lot.
That's great. Can't wait for the next one.
Boy and the Heron, even though it wasn't fantastic, I still enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, I just love Miyazaki's artwork. I love the Ghibli movies. So there was no way I wasn't going to enjoy that. Was RRR last year? Did we watch that last year?
Checking the list.
And did it come out last year?
Triple R was watched last year. Did it come out last year?
No, it's a 22 flick, so we'll skip it.
But we watched it last year, though.
It was up there.
But I think we talked about that one on the pod.
Yeah, we definitely did. But that was up there. All right, you want to get into the shows?
Get into the shows. Yeah, hold on. I'm trying to. That feels too.
I'm
dim.
Holding.
That feels too bright. How you feel?
Uh huh.
Too dim.
Uh huh.
Too bright.
I like the too dim better.
So do I. I think I need to change the intervals at which it like shifts.
Yeah, maybe there's a better way. That we'll figure out post podcast. Never mind. I was about to go into a full deep dive on how we can fix this. We'll skip it. Let's get into some shows. Our favorite shows of 2023.
You can change the exact intervals at which it shifts, so I'll fix it. But
let's look at the shows. There's no particular order here. I'm just going to hit them as I remembered them. Absolutely. Ted Lasso.
Great.
The best show.
Season 3.
Currently still my number one show, okay. I think.
Of all time?
I don't think another show has made me completely feel... Let me say, there's some runners in the race. Let me give a shout out to The Bear right now, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
They have, the ball is in their court to make a big push for my favorite show of all time. I don't know if they're going to do it, but they could.
Yeah.
Until then, Ted Lasso holding it down number one. Makes me feel good. It's funny. The characters are amazingly written and very well performed. Makes me care about football, like,
which is wild.
Not American football, soccer. Like soccer. Nothing else could have done that. It's just such a good show. I cried at the end. Like I recommend it to anybody and everybody. It's just such a good show.
I agree. I concur, brother.
What else? We got The Last of Us. We watched that last year.
We did.
Great show. It's not. It wasn't my favorite show I watched last year, but it was still a very good retelling of that story. Yeah. I feel like.
And episode 3 in particular. Always glow on episode 3. Which is not
for being in the game for being anything. Not and no source material, them just going off of vibes.
It's great.
You know? It was a very good episode.
One of my favorite episodes of TV ever, episode 3.
Yeah, I agree. Honestly, kind of want to rewatch it. Don't want to rewatch the whole show, but would rewatch
episode 3. I have specifically shown episode 3 to people. Been like, hey, you don't need to watch the rest of the story. I skipped the first 7 minutes, cut it off in the last 10 minutes. Just get that little part right there.
Yeah, it seems like it'd be good as a vignette.
Yep.
What else we got? We watched Shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
Shrinking was good.
Apple TV show.
What was that? Apple? Apple, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Very good. Yes, sir. Another one that like just makes you feel things. Good things. You feel happy.
Bad things. You hate
to see good people make mistakes and stuff like that, but that's real life. That's what happens. The show
learn from those
focuses
mistakes.
On that, and they get better. That's the same reason I like all these shows. That's why I like Ted Lasso. That's why I like The Bear. You watch people make mistakes and get better.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of my whole thing. Let's spin around real quick. We got two different shows. We got Gen V and Invincible.
Yep.
The two Amazon superhero shows.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Never rated this.
Invincible, we haven't finished yet. We're still waiting on part 2 of season 2.
Mm-hmm.
But part 1 was still very good.
Phenomenal.
I'm going to care about this show for a long time.
We're in for some good viewing.
Is Steven Yeun in GOAT status yet?
Oh, Steven Yeun been in GOAT status.
I didn't know if he was like still too young to be submitted.
Humans, Minari, Invincible. He's been on GOAT status. He starred in several indie films.
All his work in The Walking Dead.
Nope. Come on. Steven Yeun's GOAT status. Mm-hmm. He's good. Not accepting arguments otherwise. Not accepting any other arguments. Yes.
It's a hard agree for me, my boy. And then Gen V was also pretty good for being spinoff.
Mm-hmm. Actually really good for being a spinoff. I was pleasantly surprised by that show.
No, I was too. And they do some very interesting things at the end. I like the show. I like where it's going. It's pretty cool to be able to stay in that universe of The Boys and not feel too separated, but not feel like it's the same show.
Exactly, I agree.
I think they did a good job there. Any shows I'm missing here?
I watched Breaking Bad for the first time last year. That was dope.
Oh, that was last year? Yeah, phenomenal.
And then Jury Duty was last year.
I never ended up watching that. I still need to. Yeah, I know. It's up my alley. I just never got around to it.
No, Jury Duty is a Mike-ass show, I'm telling you. And it's not very long. Mm-hmm. Honestly, that's a Mike and Kylie-ass show. Like, if y'all watch that together, y'all sit down.
I need to remember it next time I'm
and bust it
show
out. Yes, it's great. Searching. It's really good. I cannot recommend Jury Duty enough. It's so funny. It has those Nathan For You vibes, but also it's like, it has rehearsal vibes. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
And you and Kylie would like it a lot, actually, I think. It's Word. Really good. It's really good. That's pretty much it in terms of stuff from last year. I watched a lot of documentary stuff, but not really anything else in terms of movies and shows.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our favorite stuff from 2023. There you have it. There you have it. There you have it.
Pretty chill year. Nothing too crazy, I feel like. Nothing that was like, this is the best game or movie or...
Yeah.
Besides Ted Lasso. Ted Lasso is my favorite show.
Well, yeah. I personally...
Everything else pretty chill.
Yeah. Ted Lasso's really good. I'd have to think about it a little harder. Letterboxd is supposed to add TV shows soon. So then I'll really think about it. Since we're here already, I think we should talk about some of the stuff we've been watching recently and in 2024. Just to touch on them. That way we don't do some swaparoos in terms of games. I've played a lot of games, obviously also because we haven't been talking about them on the podcast because we've been gone. But I played a lot of games. Not a lot. A few games. Spirit Hunters Infinite Horde. It's Vampire Survivors.
What?
It's a Vampire Survivors type game. It was pretty good. I played Prey for the first time, which I enjoyed. The ending falls incredibly flat. The rest of the game is really enjoyable. The ending is like... Well, that sucked. Like, it's not great. Played Prey Moon Crash for the first time. The ending had soured me so much on regular Prey that I couldn't get into Prey Moon Crash. That was like their roguelite DLC.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it. Prince of Persia and the Lost Crown came out in January. Excellent 2D side-scroller. Excellent, like, if you like Ori, if you like any of those types of games, Metroid, of course, Hollow Knight, this game's going to be for you. It's really good. I enjoyed it a lot. Cena's been playing it a lot because it has authentic Farsi language. And so he's been, like, learning it, and that's really cool. And I enjoyed that. I tried Resident Evil 2. Even though it's a remake, old game is old, fam. It's boring as hell.
Yeah.
Could get into it. Sea of Stars I played, which I know came out last year, but I enjoyed that a lot. A lot. It was a very good, like, JRPG, which is not normally my style, but this one, like, really Paper Mario'd it up. I really liked it a lot. Alan Wake 2, which I also know was last year. Alan Wake 2's goated status. I cannot wait for the DLCs. I cannot wait to play Control 2. All in on the RCU, bro. That Remedy, Remedy created universe. Come on, bro. It's so good. It's gas. It's gasoline. I love Alan Wake 2. Me and Noah got into Chivalry 2, which was just dumb medieval fun. Just
for like how long?
Like a week.
Are we still in it?
No. Okay. We're not still in it because we're deep in Helldivers 2, fam.
Respectable.
Get to your pods. Let's go, team. We're fighting for democracy and liberty across the galaxy, fam. Let's fucking go. Helldivers 2 is so good. I cannot. Like, people, if you have access to PS5 or PC, Mike, you guys need to buy this game and play it. $40. It's an excellent game. If you have friends to play with, it's even better. It's so enjoyable. And also, the dev team is great. They're super communicative, super on top of things. Their monetization is not predatory. The game's $40. It has a battle pass. It's $10. It also has a free battle pass and a premium battle pass. Not into one. They're two separate battle passes. The battle passes never expire. You can buy pretty much everything in the shop for $10. Everything in the day shop, you could buy everything for $10, right? Easily.
Yeah.
Fortnite's going to cost you $12-$13 for one skin. You know what I mean? Like, the monetization is incredibly generous. Nothing is locked behind premium stuff. And if it is, because there is like an incendiary shotgun or a fire grenade that's behind the premium battle pass, you get enough premium credits in the free battle pass to buy the premium battle pass. On top of being able to find premium credits in the overworld, you can just find premium credits while you're playing the game and use them to buy stuff in the shop. I've bought a whole bunch of things because I have all these free credits. And as I also went and I was like, you know what? I love this so much and support this type of thing so much. I went and spent $10 to buy the battle pass and buy a couple things in the shop because I was like, this is great. I want more games to do stuff like this.
Yeah.
Non-predatory, like just non, like it's just super consumer friendly and very enjoyable. And then the game itself is just like, let's be as community driven as possible. Let's, like, the whole thing is a galactic war that's going on. And as you and your team do missions, you contribute to liberation percentages in that sector of the galaxy. And like, it's all community driven. It's great. I cannot recommend it enough. Helldivers 2 is so good. Noah, Helldivers 2, gas.
Insanely good.
Insanely good, says Noah.
There is so many random bugs.
There's so many random bugs and hard crashes.
But
he's never been upset.
I just reopen the game
because the game's so gas.
And just keep playing.
Yeah, it's also because the devs care so much. They've acknowledged all the bugs. They're working on all the bugs. They're giving away free rewards as a result of the bugs. Like, it's, what can I say?
Tremendous baby endorsement there.
Oh, 100%. I love that team. I love that game. Keep it pushing.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things from that.
Have game. You played any games this year? I don't think you really played anything.
Have I?
No? Okay. Well,
I mean, I've been playing Pokemon, obviously.
Shiny hunting. What's your shiny percentage up to?
Yeah. Hold up. I can get that number for you.
Bro, Noah, I'll give you $1 to refill my drink. Give me a second, sir.
$1 to refill your drink is crazy,
bro. I need a refill.
You can just get up, bro.
I can't get up. You're talking, fam.
No, you can get up. I'm Googling. We're at 31.3%.
What is that? Oh, 31.3% of every shiny to ever exist in Pokemon.
Yeah, of like good. We're talking Charmander, Charmeleon, and Charizard.
Yes,
like,
sir.
Like all the boys. Like
also,
it's,
I had tea.
That's 338 Pokemon.
Did you already pour some of that in there? That's fine. Pour more. Is that RC? Hell no. Dump that out. I don't put RC Cola in my shit. Give me the root beer.
Bro is just spending a whole minute yapping about beverage anyways.
Also, can you turn the heater like down, bro? It's so fucking hot in here.
Damn, bro. Man can't keep up with the lights anymore.
No, dude. I'm out of the game.
No, I haven't been playing nothing.
And then movie.
We've been watching stuff, though.
Yes. So let's
talk. Actually, some different stuff.
So let's talk about the one that we can talk about together.
Together?
Movie that
sure.
we've been watching and enjoying, it, which is the watching and enjoying.
That makes it sound like we've been watching it repeatedly. Like every Wonka. Friday, I come over and watch Wonka.
Wonka was so good. I actually liked it a lot.
It was very good.
Like, the trailers sell that movie to be
I was
dog
ready to dog
ass.
It, bro.
It, they sell that movie to be dog. I mean, just look at this trailer right now. Like, they sell this movie to be straight dog ass. It.
They make Timothy too
serious. They don't. Like, it's whack. But when you finish it, you're like, bro, he got the whimsy. He got it. He has what it takes. He can sing. He got it all. And the story is really good. I shed multiple tears.
No, that's good. It's very good. I think it does a good job of preserving the legacy that Gene Wilder has set. I've never been a hot take alert. I've never been a big fan of the Johnny Depp. Never been a big fan of the Johnny Depp version. That's a personal thing for me. I know a lot of people love it. Not for me. I only like the Gene Wilder version.
Yeah, I like both.
So, I felt like this did a good job of preserving that legacy.
Yeah, excellent. It did really good. And nothing. It was like
good things.
Yeah, I really don't have any critiques whatsoever. The music was enjoyable. The movie.
There's
was
some
enjoyable.
Solid 10-year-old humor in there.
And adult.
But also
humor.
some good adult
Thank
humor.
You, bro, I
so I can
it.
Respect it. Yeah. No, that's pretty good. I think that might be the only thing we've watched that's the same since the year started.
Not completely.
Besides
well,
the bear.
In terms of movies, yeah. So I've only watched two other movies, so I'm gonna get those out of the way real quick.
Yeah, go ahead.
Grounded 2, The Making of The Last of Us 2. It's a free on YouTube documentary about the making of Last of Us 2. It was pretty good. They teased The Last of Us 3 at the end of it, so that was exciting. The Holdovers, a movie from last year.
I did want to see this.
Paul Giamatti. This movie's great. It's really good.
Yeah.
I nothing but glowing things to say about The Holdovers. I really liked it a lot. Alan A. watched it with me. She liked it a lot. It was just good. Not good fun and crazy. Like, it was just a good movie-ass movie. Like, this is a movie, and I really enjoyed watching it. Glowing reviews there. And then we watched The Bear.
Yeah.
Yep.
The Bear. We have both officially watched all of The Bear that there is to be watched, and I cannot wait for
season
3.
Until June. And it's supposed to all drop at once in June, too, which is so exciting.
I've been getting people to watch it by saying, get to season 2.
Yeah.
I feel like this is not my recommendation for anybody else who's listening to this.
Season 1
is an anxiety filled
it's stressful.
It's not a mess that it was put together wrong.
Yeah.
But it's just it's a mess to watch. Like it takes a lot of attention. There's a lot going on. I got anxiety watching it, but it was very well made.
Yeah.
Some of those episodes are some of the best episodes of TV I've seen in a long time. It's very good. Second season is just so much better. It's like, here's all the payoff for getting through all that stuff.
And then it gets
here's like backstory.
The Ted Lasso effect of like, you start to feel good. Characters start
here's
to redeem themselves.
Character development.
Yes, yes.
It's very good. I love that show.
A couple of things I'll highlight from The Bear that make it masterclass, of course, is the one episode that's all one shot. 18 and a half minutes, continuous shot, insane. Anxiety, stress, like you're locked in, and when it ends, you're like, whew. You feel like you were working in that kitchen getting screamed at by your boss. Like,
yep.
That episode alone was so, so incredible. And then the other thing, of course, I will highlight is Cousins' story arc in season 2.
No, I agree. I think that's probably the best story arc.
Forks. Is an excellent.
The fuck? Forks is probably the best episode in season 2.
Fucking cat, bro. Is that the cat?
Nah, I think that was Ace sneezing, bro.
Oh, Ace was sneezing. Forks.
Forks. Yeah.
Such a good episode, and then the payoff for that, and then the needle drop from that, the music that gets played at the end of that episode, and the thing with the clock. Like
it's so good.
So good. When
Forks is the best episode, and then
no spoilers. We can't spoil it right now, but like when he's talking to the girl and he's like, oh, but what was the saying that he put at the bottom of the thing? And then he like looks at it. I was like, let's go, dude.
It's so good.
I know
it's
super vague, but you got to watch it.
I want season three to just be a little bit more focused on our main character.
Yep.
And I want his...
He got some good development. He got some good...
He did.
Yeah.
He did. I think we've got self-awareness development.
And we just flushed out every other character in the show, really, this season.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm interested to see where they go with it.
I like the let's spend season two doing the this character gets an ep, this character gets an ep, this character gets an ep. Like
no,
it was really
pretty good.
I liked it really a lot. Good.
And then you'd always touch back on the restaurant and then go back to the character.
Yeah,
very good.
What else you watched?
I've been watching some other shows that I don't think you've watched. You didn't watch Percy Jackson yet?
No, I haven't got to that.
I don't know if you grew up reading the books or was like. You love the movie?
Yeah, the book's great.
It's very good.
I'm glad to hear that.
I think the best way that I described my excitement for it was I told Chance that this feels like watching Harry Potter 1, and I'm about to watch these kids do 7 years of these characters and watch them grow as their characters grow on the show. It's very good. I'm very excited for what they can do with that. My co-host has left me. I'm all alone. I got no one here besides me. Percy Jackson's good. I'm excited for it.
I had to let the dog out, my bad.
I'm excited for season two. I think you should watch it eventually.
I do plan on watching it.
Yeah, it's not bad. And then we also watched Echo, the most recent MCU show. I liked it a lot. It's very standalone from most of the MCU stuff. Obviously Kingpin's involved. It's just it was very good. It takes place in Oklahoma, so of course, like that part, that's cool. Yeah. You see background characters wearing like Oklahoma Sooners stuff.
That's cool.
It's good, and then all the characters are great. The main character is great. I have nothing but good things to say about Echo. If you haven't felt like the Marvel TV shows have been good in a minute, I feel like this is one that's like okay, this was good.
Yeah,
it's not the best thing I've ever watched. But it gets me excited for what else they're gonna do next. Like it's just good. It's a good show.
Yeah.
I recommend you watch it eventually. It doesn't feel necessary going forward in the MCU, but I think that's what they're trying to do. I think they're trying to steer away from you have to watch this show.
Yeah.
So you can watch this movie that comes out.
I think it's an excellent call to make.
I think so too. It was getting pretty messy there.
Personally,
so that's it.
Feels like a good idea.
Yeah. That's it. That's the show.
The only other thing I watched besides that is I finally watched all of Atlanta. Did it in 1 month. Got me that free trial of Hulu. Mm-hmm. Went in. So good, dude. So good. You got to watch this show. This show.
The list gross.
Yeah, I know. This show is so special. Lakeith Stanfield is excellent here. I know you and I are really big fans of Lakeith.
Yeah, we like Lakeith.
We like him a lot. He's excellent in the show. Donald Glover is in his element. Episodes are so good, and he just has fun with the show. Like, not only is it a good, cool story from start to finish of a guy wanting to be a rapper and then becoming a worldwide rapper or whatever.
Yeah.
That journey along the way is really good, and you have these really good character moments. But he just says, hey, you can tell that it feels like Donald Glover said, I want to make – there's an amalgamation of things that he wants to make, and he used this show – as a drawing board for those things. Like tons of episodes that don't really have anything to do with much, and your jaw's on the floor and you finish it and it felt like an incredibly important way to paint what's going on in society, or some sort of obscure idea where you're like, what? And then he takes it and blows it up and just has fun with it. Lots of one-shot episodes where it's it didn't have anything to do with the show, and it didn't have anything to do with any of the characters you love, but you love that episode so much it's one of your favorite episodes. Lots of stuff that.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying.
I really love that show. Noah liked the episodes that he watched of that show as well. It was really good. It was really, really, really good. I watched that with Duggar. And that's all the stuff that I watched, played, all that. Did we miss anything?
No, but before we get into some of that stuff, how do you feel about the Fantastic Forecast?
I feel great about the Fantastic Forecast. I'm going to bring him up
real quick. I do as well. I think I'm pretty excited about that. You have Pedro Pascal as Mr. Fantastic. And then you have Vanessa Kirby as Sue Storm. You have Joseph Quinn, famous from Stranger Things. This would be the second thing I've ever seen him in. He's playing, what is it, Johnny Storm? I think that's his name.
Yeah.
And then you got Cousin Richie from The Bear playing The Thing, which is cool because he ended up being my favorite character from The Bear. I'm excited to see how all these characters work together. Apparently the film's set in the 1960s. Cool.
I don't know how I feel about that in terms of the MCU.
I think I know why. Because you don't want to introduce Galactus as a villain in 2025 and then have to do the constant thing where it's like, where was everybody else? You know?
Yeah.
I'm curious if they're going to explain why they're not around right now.
The Pedro Pascal and Sue Storm castings are pretty rock solid. The flame on dude, Johnny, whatever.
Johnny Storm, yeah.
His
the Human Torch.
Human Torch. His casting is different, but I'm excited to see where they go with it.
I can be sold. I just need to be sold.
And then Cousin Richie has a thing. Yeah, that works. That's fine.
Yeah.
No qualms whatsoever there. That works.
No, I'm super excited there.
Like, that's going to be great.
Yeah, I think we're due for an MCU team. That's like I care about. We just like got rid of all of them. So
yeah, hopefully they can do it. Hopefully they can pull it off.
I think they can.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful.
Before we get into ranking the fruit, you got a little tease there if you're on the video version. There's a little bit of news items that we'd like to talk about.
Of course.
From various things. So first and foremost, the future of Xbox thing happened.
Oh, Xbox sell your podcast.
Xbox exclusives are dead. We're not getting them no more. Sell your Xbox and buy a PlayStation. That didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
If you got your PlayStation,
tragic.
You're getting a few games, but other than that,
it
was a big nothing burger for the most part, but they announced that four games were going to be going to rival platforms. They didn't say PlayStation, they didn't name them, but you can assume that's what that means.
Yeah, that's the only thing it could mean.
They were real obscure and riddle.
This was just meant to calm the nerves.
Yeah, for sure. Like, weird riddles and stuff that was like, why don't you just say what the games are, but they wanted to leave it to the teams to announce. It was like a whole thing.
Two community-driven games.
People have
two...
come to the conclusion through rumors and other stuff that the four games that are going to be going to rival platforms are Sea of Thieves, Pentiment, Grounded, and Hi-Fi Rush, which...
with, like, 99% certainty.
Yeah, which all makes sense. Grounded, you need people to play with. It's community-driven. Sea of Thieves, more people same playing thing. That. Same thing. Pentiment, small little indie game. You're not getting any more money from that. That thing's just sitting there. I want more people to play that game. And it's the same thing with Hi-Fi Rush. It had its moment. It's been past a year.
Yeah.
Go ahead and put it out and let other people play it.
Which yeah, there's feel, no reason not to.
That's how I feel about all these games. I would feel the same about PlayStation games. Like, if you want to keep God of War exclusive for a year and then put it on Xbox, that's fine. More people playing more games, for me, is good because I enjoy the art form and I want
people to Yeah, because I think people will still buy the system for the exclusivity for, like, a year, right? Like, the Halo fans will buy a Xbox if you tell them that you get to play Halo a year early.
Yeah, 1,000%.
That's still going to work. So
I think it works fine. Yeah. But as a result of this, there were some rumors about a Nintendo Direct last week and some stuff. Some pretty credible ones, actually, this time.
I mean, it's that time of year.
You get the classic, like, Nintendo Direct next week, every week. But this was, like, some credible rumblings that apparently that got moved because of the Xbox stuff. And some other things got moved. It is February. It is time for the Nintendo Direct. Of course, the Switch 2 is imminent. It's supposed to be coming out relatively soon, at some point soon. Nobody knows when this Nintendo Direct is. They think it might have switched to a partner direct. Nintendo,
let me hard predict, okay?
Go ahead.
February 20th is going to be Nintendo Direct Partners Presents. A week before the Pokemon Direct on the 27th. That's my hard prediction.
Oh, okay, I thought you had more than that. That's a decent prediction.
No, I don't know what else I could predict beyond that. Yeah, you want the weather?
That's funny. But it, like, you know, the Switch is now touted to be coming out Q1 of 2025.
How do you feel about that?
Not great.
You think it needs more time to cook? You think Switch 2 is unneeded?
I think you're in a position where we've exhausted our resources for the Switch in terms of gas territory, with Tears of the Kingdom being our last big drop a year ago. I think you can't come out with anything crazy big if you're dropping a console in March, which means this year will
be
dry as hell for Nintendo.
I mean, Pokemon fans eat every year, so sure. we're gonna get a good Pokemon game in like.
But like,
November,
Princess October. Peach's Showtime isn't gonna hold me till Switch 2. You know what I mean? So that's tragic. It's not. And what this means, I think this just means we're getting 3D Mario later than we want. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's gonna be 2025. Yeah, June.
So here's what I'm like thinking: that. You drop it in March. You gotta have some sort of flagship title. Feels like 3D Mario is the way to go.
You think so?
I think beyond a shadow of a doubt that 3D Mario is the Switch's successor's launch title. I don't think
what if it's just Mario Kart 8 Deluxe again?
No, because they just finished the DLC. Here's what I think happens. And it was weird that they dropped the DLC like years later. Yeah. I think the launch title is 3D Mario. I would bet all of my money that the 3D Mario is the launch title.
Makes sense. It's been too long.
1,000%. And then from there, 7 years, bro. And by then, 8 years almost.
Yeah, it'll be 8 years.
Just like with the Switch, it was gas territory. Breath of the Wild, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, ARMS, Odyssey. Like, you start launching all of these crazy things. So I think Mario Kart 9 or Mario Kart Ultimate or Mario Kart whatever the hell you want to call it drops a few months later.
Yeah.
And then you go from there. If you want
to. Yeah, because honestly, the current lineup feels like this was meant
Metro to, Prime like, 4.
I feel like the Switch was supposed to drop, like, now.
Exactly.
And then for some reason, it got pushed back a year. And so that's why we've got all these, like.
You got Metroid
Prime. Make it stretch a year.
Metroid Prime 4 seems like apt that it could come out in this time. Mm-hmm. There's several teams we don't know what they're making. If you remember. There were rumors that the 3D Mario team were working on a Donkey Kong game.
Yeah, DK Odyssey.
They just released Donkey Kong versus Mario. Donkey Kong was a very big part of the Mario movie. Is it possible this next 3D Mario Way movie somehow has a lot to do with Donkey Kong as well? 3D Mario game?
I mean, it makes sense.
I don't know.
It could be.
And then...
Do you think it's going to be Odyssey 2, or you think it's going to be something completely new?
I think new.
Which is so sad.
It is, but I think Odyssey. I do too, but I think the new one will be fine. Every new 3D Mario
I'm going to love gas. Whatever's new. Yeah, yeah. I'm going to love whatever's next.
It's always gas. And then I think, if you want to make this year less shitty, you do what people have been theorizing that they've been doing, and they have these remakes that apparently they've been sitting on. Wind Waker Remaster is right there. Twilight Princess Remaster is right there. This year's too dry, and you're trying to swan song the Switch. Just slide those out, bro. Slide them out the door. Let me buy them. Let me cop them.
Theory is complete backwards compatibility, right?
Says who? Switch? That's not Nintendo's way.
No, from Switch 2 to Switch 1?
We're not even certain that it's a Switch 2. You know what I mean? Like,
it's
Nintendo.
A Switch 2, bro.
You're going to have to buy all these games again.
How much money you want to put right now? It's Switch 2.
I would guarantee that it's the Switch 2, but you still got to buy these games again.
I will. Oh, dude. I want to say some things I shouldn't say in a mic, bro. I hate Nintendo,
but
bro.
But you know that that's not impossible, and that's the more likely option. Oh, jeez, Louise.
No way you release the same console and not have it have backwards compatibility.
Says who?
Me, bro. I believe Nintendo will allow me to continue playing my Switch games on the Switch 2.
Look what happened to the eShop, bro. Virtual console, bro. It's gone. It doesn't exist.
I got my downloads in. I'm chilling.
Anyway, so that's it for all that news items. Before we rank fruit, how you feel about the video AI stuff? That scare you, bro?
Video AI? I hate it. Don't get me wrong. There's going to be some cool things. I'm going to see something on Twitter. I'm like, oh, damn, that's cool. And someone's going to be like, it's AI. I'm going to be like, I got it. But it's, I see more bad things than I see good things.
Yeah, 1,000%. I agree. Now, let's rank these fruit. This is what we really came here for. In this podcast off.
Why don't you make me drop my AI opinion right before ranking fruit and then not follow up with your opinion?
I feel the same way. It's full doom and gloom for me.
Okay. I didn't know if you were yourself from our robot overlords.
I'm just trying not to think about the fact that I'm going to be sitting in court in a couple of years looking at me commit a crime that I never committed.
Dude,
you know what I mean?
It's dude.
You did.
The Black Mirror episode writes itself.
You did mug that man in the street. And be like, huh? And they're going to be like, look, here you are right here mugging the man in the street on CCTV, bro. We got you. I'm like, what? That ain't
crazy,
me.
Crazy, dude.
That's clearly you, fam.
Anyway. All right, let's get into some fruit action.
Let's rank these fruit.
Zoom in on this. All right.
Can you see the fruit?
This is the real content. I can see some fruit. Now, are we just going from top to bottom, left to right?
Let me zoom in as best I can.
No, that's a good zoom right there.
Top to bottom, left
to
right.
We got garbage too?
Yep. Starting off with green apple.
That's an A for me, brother.
I agree.
Green apple slices. I know you're the apple guy. I'm not going to pretend to be an apple guy. But green apple slices are better than red apple slices, and I will die on this hill. But sure. Biting into a red apple, I think, is better than biting into a green apple.
Which is
but
why
green
I'll
apple
be sliding
slices,
red apple into S tier.
I feel like apples on in general are just not S tier.
Dude,
it'll
come
never
on.
Be S tier.
Is Kylie still in the room?
Kylie is around. What question do you want to ask?
Ask Kylie how she feels about red apples being S tier, specifically Honey Crisp or Cosmic.
How do you feel about red apples being S tier? Yes, a fruit.
We're ranking fruit.
Yes,
she said yes, but only Honey Crisp.
Yes, but only Honey Crisp. Okay, see, that's what I'm saying. That's you pick your apple, you know.
Okay, fine. Yeah, I'll give you this. I'll concede. You're gonna concede somewhere else, though.
All right, cool. All right. I was just checking on something.
Apricots, garbage.
Yeah, it's garbage. We don't got to talk about
Let's
that.
Get that out of the way. Avocado, now, hold up. Just because you're uncultured and
avocados
don't
suck.
Like the taste of avocado. No, No. Guacamole is good.
They're horrid.
Avocado's not the worst. It's not garbage. It's at least D or C because it has potential. If you tell me something's apricot flavored, I'm just not touching it.
Sure.
But if you say, here's some guac and chip, I'm going to eat it.
So where does it go then?
D.
Okay, I'll accept.
Bananas S.
Yeah, we don't got that'll go over apple as well.
Thank you. Now we're getting into some berries here. I can't tell you.
Here's where I'm at. Blackberry.
How many berries have you been? Do we want to just go as a flavor?
Sure.
Separate from the fruit? I think blackberry is probably like C or D.
Sure, I'll put it in C. What's black currant, bro?
I have no idea.
That's why I'm putting
just
it
throw
in,
that
garbage.
In garbage.
Blue. Okay, here's where I'm at.
Black currant. Blueberry.
No, actually, we got to keep it consistent. We can't go as a flavor. We have to go as a berry, because I want to rank blueberry and garbage tier. So.
Well, okay, as a berry, I still think blackberries aren't that bad. Maybe D. Blueberries, I hate eating them.
Yeah,
they're like mush.
They suck. I'm putting them in garbage.
Cantaloupe, I'm a hater.
Will eat an entire cantaloupe by myself.
I will not allow you to put cantaloupe in S tier.
Okay, it's at least top of A, bro.
Not even, bro. I'll give you B.
I think
cantaloupe
is
D tier.
Is S plus, bro.
It's D tier for me.
Dude, Kylie, back me up.
Cantaloupe.
It's so easy to get a bad cantaloupe.
Motherfucker.
I agree. It's so easy to get bad cantaloupe. Throw that thing in B, bro.
B.
Throw it in B. I'll give you low A, maybe. What are you going to throw? Coconut
I'll
and garbage?
Coconut. Dude, as a fruit, bro, you're biting into coconut, bro? D best.
It's a nut, so I don't think it should even be on here. But if we're throwing it somewhere, it's like C tier.
Are you
I like coconut flavor. Yeah, I like coconut flavor.
We're not doing flavor. We're doing...
Think about coconut fried shrimp.
Whatever, bro.
Think about it for a second.
Okay.
And then report back.
Where you want to put cherries? Because I want to put them in garbage.
Cherries? I don't think that highly of cherries.
They suck.
I'd say D tier though.
Put them in.
Because sometimes, no, like maraschino cherries on a sundae are pretty nice. So I'll say D.
Cranberries
suck. You can throw that in garbage.
Yeah, dates horrible. Horrid, bro.
You can throw that in garbage.
Dragon fruit. Sucks.
I don't know if I've had dragon fruit.
I have.
Like,
it's
by
horrible.
Itself.
Trust me. Hey, Noah, Ace right. in.
Durians?
I only had those in Zelda, bro. I never actually...
That's a grabbage. I don't know if you... not worth it. Figs?
Suck.
Throw them in there.
Horrible.
A gooseberry?
What is a gooseberry, bro?
That just looks like a grape. I feel like it's not grabbage,
even
though.
C
just look
grape?
At it.
Oh, there's grape. Yeah.
I feel like it's not grabbage.
I'm
maybe
put it in, I'm putting it in C on pure
It's appeal. Got me intrigued.
On pure appeal.
You ever grapefruit your mans?
I have a grapefruit your mans. I hate grapefruit. I hate it.
Nah. It's like C tier, I think.
Okay.
Sure. All right, red grapes.
Red grapes. I think grapes are A.
B. I think red grapes are B. White grapes are top of A.
I'll accept that.
Cotton candy grapes carry so hard.
Oh, so hard, fam. Kiwis.
Kiwis.
D. Like, as a flavor, like, strawberry kiwi juice pouch and stuff, like, awesome. But, like, as a,
yeah, I think it'll
a
beat you.
Fruit.
It's fuzzy, great. Bro. Why is it fuzzy? I don't like yeah. that. Lemons, B.
Lemons, sure. They're B simply for their usability.
Versatile.
Yeah, yeah. Same with limes. I think they go right next to each other.
Yeah. Lychee?
What's a lychee?
I've had lychee before. It's very weird. You wouldn't like it. It's garbage.
Garbage.
Mango?
I'm on garbage.
Really?
I swear to God.
You got cantaloupe A, but mango's that low?
I was gonna say
mango's at like B. Bro, mango's out the can or like mango.
We'll put it in dude. C because I got a garbage.
Nectarine. Throw in garbage.
Yep.
All right, hold up. Let me look at. Show me the list here before I make my decision on oranges. So we do got tangerines coming up. There is kumquats. I think oranges are easy A tier.
So do I.
I think we can agree there.
Papaya, so
no, not a lot of experience with papaya.
Papaya,
to be honest.
Passion fruit can both go in garbage, bro.
Passion fruit got a great name though.
It does, so it'll go in D.
Thank you. Peach,
middle of the road.
Hold up. Peach has high potential. I don't know if you've ever bitten into like the best peach in your life, but that's like that clears most fruit.
I like canned peaches that you get from school cafeterias.
We got to get a good peach in your hands, bro.
I'm thinking B.
It might be A, bro.
Okay, I'll accept.
Peaches are good. Pears?
Pears going B for me.
It's just a bad apple, bro.
I agree that it's a bad apple, but also when you like, well, I guess that's using other fruit to make it better. But I was going to say strawberried pears are really good.
Throw pears in B. I'll accept
nah,
B.
We'll go top of C.
Okay. It's not offensive, but it's not good either.
Persimmon, never had.
I don't have experience with persimmons
garbage.
Either. Pineapple S.
Yeah, let's not even play.
Not even going to hold you, bro.
I hate plums. Horrible.
Plums are terrible.
Yep.
Get them out of here.
Garbage.
Pomegranates.
Garbage.
They got some value, but the cons are too high. I'm not a pomegranate fan.
What's a pomelo?
I don't know.
Garbage.
Just throw it in garbage.
Raspberries? I think
raspberries. Throw it with blackberries.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
We got red currant.
I'll just put it next to black currant. Never had a star fruit, fun fact.
I think I've had it at least once in my life. It wasn't the worst experience, so probably like D or C.
Okay.
Strawberries, S tier.
Yeah, don't even need to play.
Not even going
to
hold you.
Tangerines go next to oranges, IMO.
I think a little bit lower.
Yeah, like.
I don't know. Yeah, tangerines are good. You like can keep them the same. Watermelon, S tier.
Yes, don't even
Let's
need
not
to
mess
play.
Around. Honeydew.
Goes next to, less than cantaloupe, in my opinion.
Okay. It's the same tier for me, so yeah, that's fine. Asian pear?
I'm just going to put that with the regular generic pear. I don't know.
That just looks like an apple. That looks even more like an apple.
I've never had a guava.
Guava, probably garbage for us.
Blood orange?
Blood orange? Have I had a blood orange?
I don't think I would eat that.
I would. I feel like it's got a lot of flavor, some good nutrients.
I'll put it with grapefruit for some reason.
Yeah.
It's calling
custard me. Apple? All right, apple man.
Never eating that. Never. I don't know what the fuck that is.
You want a ground cherry?
No clue. We're going to put it
that
in
that feels like something you wouldn't want to eat.
Kumquats?
Kumquats? Name alone gets it at least C tier.
All right. I'm going to trust you on kumquats.
It goes up there with gooseberry for a good name.
Mulberry, garbage. Raisins?
Nah.
Suck.
Raisins are at least D.
Yeah, I agree. Jackfruit?
No experience.
What is a
mangosteen? Dude, we've been missing out in the fruit world. We need to expand our horizons.
Rambutan? Trash. Sour cherry? Sounds bad.
Yeah, we need to... Oh, no. Sour cherries aren't that bad. Throw it in D tier.
Throw it in D tier.
Yeah, throw it a little bit below the cherries, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, here. Let's go ahead and organize it, at least like the S and A tiers.
Okay.
I think it goes here. Watermelon.
What's the best fruit? Is watermelon number one?
Yes. Hands down. Easily.
Let me breathe it in.
Take a bite real quick.
I think I agree with you. Its only downfall is it's not in season all year round.
Yeah, you can't have enough of it. That's the only bad part is you can't get enough.
It's like the nacho fries from Taco Bell. But
yeah, like you Earth. Want it so bad, but there's just not
okay.
Enough
I'll give
of
it to you now. Number two, hear me out.
Go ahead.
Pineapple.
I'll accept.
I love me some pineapple. Bro.
I'll accept.
And then banana feels good at number three.
I'm with this right here. This feels like the
I think I'm with that, too. That feels right.
Watermelon,
let's go ahead and go.
Then pineapple, banana, strawberry, red apple.
Okay, let's go ahead and hit up A tier. You can go ahead and move A orange to the front, I think.
I agree.
Now, is grapes better than green apples?
I think so.
Because what you like about a green apple is the sourness, but white grapes are already doing that for you.
Honestly, this order is fine.
That feels fine.
Orange, white grapes, green apple, cantaloupe, honeydew, tangerine, peach.
And I'm fine with B tier as well, and I don't care about anything in C tier or lower. So
yeah,
I feel like this list is solidified.
Yeah, so then watermelon, pineapple, banana, strawberry, red apple, orange, white grapes, green apple, cantaloupe, honeydew, tangerine, peach, red grapes, lemon, and then lime.
Gotcha.
That's not bad.
No, I feel like that's a solid list overall.
That's not bad at all.
No, it's pretty good.
All right, that's the app, bro.
How much disagreement you think we're going to get on that?
How much what?
How much disagreement you think we're going to get on that? You think probably that's a pretty fair list?
It's a fair list, but, you know, motherfuckers got hot takes. Just think about Spencer, bro. Spencer's going to say
some bullshit. Did we underrate anything there? I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think fruit's pretty universal. All right.
Yeah, I agree. That's it, bro.
Well, hey, do you like the show? If you do, consider subscribing. Leave a like, comment. Let us know what you want to see us do in the next episode.
That's how you feeling? That's your outro?
Yeah, bro. We need some suggestions. What do you want to see ranked, bro? I think it's time we can revisit stuff.
I agree. That's it for the Sinkdale podcast. That's the episode, everything. I'm not going to give the classic stuff. You know, if you want to watch the video version, youtube.com/Sinkdale podcast. Audio version is everywhere now. We use Spotify for podcasts now, which is great. It's a great tool. We love using it. Episodes go up Mondays, 7 a.m. This one will probably be up Monday, 7 a.m.
Central Time Zone Gang.
Follow us on Twitter at SinkedUpPod. Actually, don't do that. We're probably not going to tweet on there. Let's just be completely honest.
No, follow us at The Coast Is Clear and whatever your at handle
Timothy
is.
Timothy Durow. I forgot to roll the lower thirds. Frankly, I didn't even put them into the thing. Got to mess with the Stream Deck. Stream Deck works great. New lights work great. This setup works great. I'm really excited to be back. This isn't a one-off episode, fam. We're back in business. This is great.
Isersky.
It's such a fun time. I really enjoy this.
I agree.
I enjoy talking to you once a week about random shit.
That's cute. I love you too, bro.
Anyway, yeah, really enjoyable. Really enjoyable time. Can't wait to see what we talk about next week. Yeah, and if you have any ideas for things that we should rank, even if we've done them before, go ahead. You know, send them our way. Are we gonna
opinions do change.
Movie rankings? We should have talked about that earlier. Are we gonna start?
Let's give it one more week. Let's let it breathe for a second.
Okay, just the shadow drop Let's episode and see how it goes.
Yeah.
Okay,
I concur.
Anyway, thank you guys so much for watching and or listening to this episode of the Synced Up Podcast. I've been Timothy Durow. That's been Michael Clare, and we will catch you guys in the next one. Peace out. Bye.